You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Where's up? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn, you bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How you doing? Hope you've enjoyed your weekend. So many things going on. My goodness. Causes a lot of traffic. That's ruined, that's for sure. I drove out to Bodega Bay this morning. They have started a farmer's market. It's a little bit north of the main part of town. But it's a really sweet little market. Today was its third Sunday, and they had remarkable diversity for being so small. I got a chicken that was just harvested yesterday and was not frozen. There was a lot of grass-fed meat. There were gorgeous, gorgeous tomatoes. I think three different vendors, a lot of preserved foods, interesting, different sort of things. Anyway, if you live out there along the coast somewhere, it's really nice to have that market. It's 10 to 1 on Sundays, and right now they're going to be continuing through October, and then they hope to pick it up again in May, and next May, and take it year-round at that point. Also, I want to say happy 25th anniversary to Judy Jordan and the folks up at Jay Vineyards and Winery. They had a really nice party celebrating their 25th year yesterday. And then also happy harvest to Iron Horse. They had a wonderful party today as well. So it's harvest time in wine country. Today we are going to be talking to somebody that I've been trying to meet, and the publicist at Jordan Winery has been trying to get us together for a while. I missed a fabulous party last year at Jordan Winery. Really remarkable rainstorm, and my roof started leaking, and I ended up having to stay home. So we have Todd Knoll, executive chef of Jordan Winery, with us. Hi, Todd.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
I'm doing great.
And I hope you can make this a year. We just finalized the October event, our Halloween event. Uh-huh. So it'll be fun. It's based on True Grit. And
the remarkable invitation just came in.
Oh, you did get it. Fantastic. Yeah, it takes some. It's about a year in advance when we start working on this with our friends at Pineapple Planet. So I think it's going to be a fantastic event.
Cool. So how long have you been at Jordan?
I've been at Jordan since 2003. And I've been the executive chef since 2007.
And when you came to Jordan, were you already up in Sonoma County?
No, actually, I was at the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco. And so I was commuting from San Francisco, Nob Hill.
Oh.
Yeah, for 6 months. Yeah, it was a little rough. Uh-huh. But the entryway into the winery makes it worth it. You never get jaded by it. It's so beautiful, you know, that drive.
Oh, the drive up to the winery is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's like nothing else. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I do my drive. I think about my work and my work day and then drive up and park right next to the kitchen and walk in and then call my friends at the Ritz-Carlton and take pictures of the garden And they hate me.
Of course. But you moved up here since, right?
Yes. I live in Windsor now.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Healdsburg for 3 years, and now we just bought a home. My wife and I have a 2.5-year-old son. We live in Windsor.
Uh-huh. And your wife also works at Jordan, is that right?
Yeah, she's the director of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
So we're side by side 24/7.
Is that great? That must be great.
It's great.
Uh-huh.
Great. No, it is great.
Uh-huh. What's your son's name?
Petros.
Petros.
So he's Greek. He's partially Greek. My wife's Greek. So he's Petros Thaddeus Knoll. Mm-hmm. And so he's named after his father, his grandfather.
His grandfather.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it? Let's start with harvest. Mm-hmm. What's happening right now from the point of view of a chef at Jordan?
We've already completed the menus. We will do 3 weeks. So that's all going forward.
You mean you'll do 3 weeks of?
3 weeks of approximately 100 people.
Uh-huh. For lunch?
Yeah, for
lunch.
Okay,
you do harvest lunches.
Yeah, and also our JR, our rewards program. Mm-hmm. So they'll be under the Oaks, and so we'll be doing both formal lunches as well as feeding in the classic French style the entire winery.
Oh, you feed everyone who comes to work
mm-hmm.
For harvest.
Yep.
And tell me some of the things you like to cook right now. Let me guess. I bet you're doing a lot with tomatoes.
Yes. I'm being buried by tomatoes. I actually brought some for you.
Oh, cool. You know, it's fun. We waited this year so long. I don't know if we've ever waited longer for tomatoes. And we waited a really long time last year.
Mm-hmm.
But then we didn't have very long to enjoy them. They went bad really quickly because it was searing heat. And that's not good. This year, finally, tomatoes came on and they're just wonderful.
It's exploding right now. I'm being buried in them. We're dehydrating them. I'm storing them in oil. We're making, this is one of the salts I brought you. That's a tomato salt.
We made an heirloom tomato salt.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, next will be sorbet. And
Oh, that's really interesting.
Isn't it?
It tastes like gazpacho.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going for. And then this one. Also, our raspberries have been wonderful this year. And so.
Hibiscus salt.
And, oh, that's a hibiscus. And.
Let's see. Should I taste the.
Yeah, maybe I didn't bring the raspberry one.
Okay.
But the hibiscus was from Hawaii, and the salt was actually collected from where I asked my wife to marry me in Kailua.
Okay. Oh, hibiscus. That's really good.
Yeah.
So what do you start with, these salts? What's the base? What kind of salt do you start with?
I start with seawater.
Oh, you start, okay, so you do evaporate it.
Yeah, so off of 1 gallon, we've done it in Crete, Naxos, Athens, everywhere we go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take seawater and lug it around, and then off of each gallon, it depends. And it's interesting how much it changes, even if there's a rainfall, the salinity,
mm-hmm.
the yield. So in Athens, for instance, we took 1 gallon and got about a cup of salt out mm-hmm. of it, and did it on the rooftop in Athens while the hills were all on fire. So there's actually ash in it.
Ash, yeah.
Yeah, it's really so. Everyone has its own distinctive flavor mm-hmm. and its story, and so I keep trying to tell people about this and to do it. It's really easy. If you don't have the time, you can also do it in your hotel room. You know,
yeah.
And boil it down.
Yeah, I've made salt from seawater before.
Yeah.
And I've done it just leaving it out, you know, leaving it outside and seeing how long it takes.
That's the best way to do
it. Yeah. So tell me about these other ones that you have.
So
here you have, let's see what this is. This is Hanapepe.
Yeah, Hanapepe, that's Kauai. So they've been making salt there forever. It has a really great salinity to it.
Mm-hmm. Nice texture, too.
Yeah, and that one I was able to do slowly, so that's where you get that texture. This is Monterey off of a kayak. This is Goat Rock off of Jenner.
So you just go out there, grab a gallon of seawater.
Yeah.
Now the Jenner is distinctly Goat Rock, really different.
Yeah. It is. And it's interesting. I mean, you get minerality out of it. This is off of Cozumel. That one's really clean. What I also do to intensify that sea aspect to it is I'll make a dashi with kombu and then add that back into the seawater and then take it down again.
Now, for some people who don't know what dashi is, basically it's almost like a fish stock, but just made with kombu.
It's used made as
a basis for a lot of Japanese dishes.
Yeah, it's one of the quickest stocks you can make. You can buy a tea bag of it, actually. Mm-hmm. But what we do is you bring over 15 minutes the seaweed that's off in Hokkaido in the north of Japan. Bring it up just below a simmer, and then take that out. Then you add flakes of bonito, the dried tuna, and wait till it falls, perhaps over 30 minutes. Sometimes I'll introduce dried mushrooms from Jordan, and then you have a stock right there. Yeah. It's much faster than making fumé, and it's clean. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the tomato stock. How did you make that? I mean, the tomato salt.
We sliced, this was primarily Sweet 100 tomatoes, sliced them in half, and we used an Excalibur dehydrator, which is available on Amazon. Fantastic machine. Dried it over about 24 hours, and then used a coffee grinder and pulverized it with the salt from, we've used the Hanapepe or Malden salt from England.
So you took the salt and the dried tomatoes. Yeah, that's very interesting, and it's amazing how much it tastes like gazpacho.
Yeah, and it works really well with meats and fish. And just like the classic salts of Hawaii, the iodine and everything works very well with the blood and meat. Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell anyone who knows me knows I can talk about salt for a really long time.
Well, you can keep all of these.
So anyway, we're talking about what you like to cook with right now during harvest. What are some of the menus that you're working on for your harvest lunches?
Well, it's. I hope you make it up there. But we do Mexican food on Mondays and Wednesdays. Fish always on Fridays. They're beautiful meals. It's pretty incredible. The company's very generous with what we do with our harvest lunches. I buy whatever I want. We'll be doing pork belly, ribs. We always do enchiladas. We're doing what no winery really does anymore. We feed 100 people beautifully. It just doesn't happen. It's a huge expense.
Yeah, it is.
It's a lot of work.
So when you're doing the formal lunches for a variety of guests, I would assume members of the wine club maybe, invited guests, but then at the same time you're also feeding the people who are picking grapes, the people who are working in the cellar, everywhere. Are you feeding them the same thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a classic French tradition. And so everyone eats the same thing. Some people are more comfortable in one place, some people in another. But everyone comes together and they eat the food that we produce. And it's a beautiful thing that's unfortunately disappearing.
That's too bad. I think so. I see some people doing similar things every now and then. I know one thing out at Safari West.
Yeah.
They do staff lunch and staff dinner every day. And everyone eats together, and I think that's really cool.
It's great. It brings everyone together. I try not to see the accountant so much, but
yeah, you don't have to think. Think about that.
But
part.
We all come together, and and it's fun.
So,
everyone loves it.
What inspired? Tell me about your Mexican menus. I'm a huge fan of Mexican food.
Well, our enchiladas are fantastic. Our tamales are amazing.
Tell me what type of enchiladas?
Well, I bring in Curuboto pork butt, and then we cook that down, and then I turn over the ladies. So,
you got some of the okay, cool.
Yeah, all of our.
So you got some really authentic flavors.
Yeah, everyone comes together. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Rick Bayless and Kennedy, but they love doing it, and so it just becomes a whole group effort.
Yeah, so you get like real Mexican home cooking. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, moles and tamales. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, you sort of hear the tamale on the tamale trail. So and so is selling tamales, and it's like, okay, I'll take 100. Haven't heard about that in a couple of years, but I know they're out there.
Well, I'll email you. You have to come on that day. They're very good at it.
Okay, so how much time is it? Your job as executive chef, how much time is actually working with making the food compatible with Jordan wines?
We're always doing it. As we only have two wines, it's intuitive at this point.
Right, yeah.
So I believe, and our winemaker, Rob Davis, believes that it's good fine, good food, good with good wine and good company. So what we try and do is play around with it and push the envelope. Fruit forward wine, our Chardonnay being more acidic, and so I do Asian preparations, and so it's fun wine to work with. They're only two, but they're great wines, and they're great food wines.
Only two, but they're two classics.
Yeah,
and of course the other Chardonnay, of course, but then also Cabernet, and Jordan Cabernet has certainly had a reputation as one of the great Cabernets of California, and I like it because. Its label looks like it's connected to me.
I know. I love your last name.
we've used this for family celebrations, and I've given both my daughters, I've given bottles and that sort of thing. Plus, I have a friend whose first name is Jordan. So this one has been part of many, many celebrations. We're going to take a quick musical break. When we come back, I have a feeling we're going to try one of the wines. that song, Punalu'u, by the incredible Ulavehi Guerrero, about a very beautiful, beautiful beach on the east side of Oahu, getting up towards the top of the island where you start finding all of these shrimp trucks. Okay, Todd, you're going to open the Chardonnay. Yeah. We're going to give that a try.
We're opening the 2009, our current release of the Chardonnay. And having been raised in Hawaii, this is a fun wine to work with. The wines are crisp and not overly oaked and work very well with Asian preparations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's two glasses.
There you are.
So were you born in Hawaii?
I was born in Monterey. My sister was born in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. What took your family there?
My father had a construction company. And so when I was three, I decided to move. And so I was really raised there, but I was an Army brat in the beginning.
Uh-huh. But then you went and you were in Kailua, you said.
Yep, Kailua and then Kahala.
Kahala.
And then lived right at Diamond Head.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Diamond Head's so beautiful there. Yeah, so how long did you live there?
Until I was 20, I came to California. Then I went back for 6 years. Then I came back to go to culinary school.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that you, sort of the foundation... Or do you find that you were really influenced by your years, from a food point of view, by your years in Hawaii?
Yeah, I was a minority, really. Mm-hmm. And my parents were both great cooks, and I cooked all the time. I wanted to cook when I was a little kid. I'd save up my allowance and cook quesadillas or Mexican food. I mean, you're surrounded by different cultures. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun. And you're surrounded by the ocean. So it becomes just part of being part of the land, fishing every day, diving and collecting mm-hmm. lobster and different reef fish and things. So mm-hmm. it worked out well.
How do you make your Kahlua pig?